Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where Senior Pastor Robert L. Fry has a great message from God's holy word. We'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God, where our motto is, a salvation experience makes you a member. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, contact the office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. Now, let's listen to Pastor Fry share a message inspired by God.
Mother's Day is a difficult day for many. We have people like me, their mothers in heaven. We have people that have had strained relationships with their mother. We have people that don't have relationship with their children. And all these things have to do with the world and the flesh. But today I want to talk about mothers, because that's why all you children came today. I don't know where you're at on Father's Day, but it's good to see you on Mother's Day. And I'll start out by reading with John chapter 19, verse 25 through 27. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And Jesus before saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by. He said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to his disciples, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciples took her to his own home. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you open our hearts and minds today. Lord, I pray that you give everyone that's here, fathers, mothers, sons, daughters, grandparents, great-grandparents, those who have lost children, those who have lost parents, something they can cling to. And for that, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the great things I get to do on Mother's Day is I get to read some famous quotes. And I always like these. Mark Twain said, "My mother had a great deal of trouble with me, but I think she enjoyed it." I could probably say the same thing about my mother. Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." Leonardo DiCaprio said, "My mother is a walking miracle." Marlo Thomas, her daddy was from Toledo. "When I was growing up, my mother was always a friend to my siblings and me, in addition to being all the other things a mom is. And I was always grateful for that because I knew she was someone I could talk to and joke with and argue with, and that nothing would ever harm that relationship." Irma Bombeck, some of you remember her. "When your mother asks, 'Do you want a piece of advice?' it's mere formality. It doesn't matter if you answer yes or no. You're going to get it anyway." "An ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy." Buddy Hackett said, "My mother's menu consisted of two choices, take it or leave it." "A man loves his sweetheart the most, his wife the best, but his mother the longest. There's only one pretty child in the world, and every mother has it." Now, I don't want to leave the dads out. So fathers, a father is someone who carries pictures in his wallet where his money used to be. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, "Come unto me, all ye are weak and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus has always said, "Come, and I will give you." What we miss out on in life many times is following Jesus. Because we are all born into the flesh, and the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now, you may have a father or son or a daughter that, or a grandson or granddaughter that you really want to see saved. You really want to see them in church. I think every parent wants that's a Christian for their children. But how do we get them there? We get them there by following Jesus. Adam and Eve were created in God's image, and they fell. So don't fall out with your kids too much when they don't do what they're supposed to do. Even God had trouble with his. And when your grandchildren start to grow up, and they look at their parents as some type of an ancient animal, remember, you'll start looking better to your children. There was a 102-year-old lady, and we have one 104 back here. But someone went up to her and said, and Larry, forgive me, buddy. Somebody went up to her and said, do you have any worries? She said, not anymore. She said, I got my youngest son in a nursing home. Just goes to show you, mothers continue to worry about their children. And they do. 10-year-old one says, when your mom is mad at your dad, don't let her brush your hair. Thirteen-year-old said, when you get bad grades in school, the best time to show your mom's when she's on the phone. I couldn't do that with my mom. She had a phone that was on the wall, and you stood, talked to it like this. I'm not old. I've just seen a lot of changes real fast. But today is Mother... You know, I have hearing aids, and now I can hear things that I didn't used to be able to hear. Bless your heart. Mothering Sunday started in the 16th century when children were farmed out to work in different places away from their home. And most of the children went out to work when they were 10 years old. On Mothering Sunday, they were given that Sunday off, and they would walk through the fields and pick violets and wildflowers and mums and give them to their mother at church. And today, we not only look at mothers, but mothers set a good example. What a mother should be sets a good example for what a church should be. A church isn't always what she should be, and a mother isn't always what she should be. But God has a pattern for both. And both are to have unconditional love. That's the first thing. In that while they were yet sinners, Christ died for them. Before anyone looked to Jesus or loved Jesus, he died for them. And mothers somehow have that, there's no reason to love me, there's no reason to help me, there's no reason to do anything for me. But the mother says, I won't give up. And the toughest of the men in this world will tell you the respect that they had for their mothers. As parents, we can remember thinking about what our children are going to be when they grow up. Now, my son's here today. He's 45, sitting back there against the wall. This is as close as he can get to being out of church. Oh, hi back here. And I thought when he was little, I bought him a little John Deere tractor, and I thought he could farm, but he's too smart for that. He'll probably be some kind of a lawyer or a doctor or something. And he hauls dogs for a living. He makes good money hauling dogs, coon dogs. He raises coon dogs. I always thought when he told me how much he sold his pups for, he was not telling me the truth. So a few years ago, he said, Dad, you're going to Cincinnati. Would you mind taking a pup with you? And the guy will give you cash for it. And I forget how much it was, like $1,300. And I thought, yeah, right, I'll probably get two. The guy met me. He was driving up from Kentucky somewhere, or Tennessee, met me in Cincinnati, took the dog and handed me all this cash. We don't plan what our kids are going to be. All we plan is to show them that we're a Christian, to show them that we love them unconditionally, to show them that we will be there for them. And when doing that, we're showing them who Jesus Christ is. I learned that because my father showed me that, my mother showed me that, my grandmother showed me that. I was one of the lucky ones, and I would say, "You preacher, what is it to be chosen?" I was one of the chosen ones, that I had parents and grandparents, all Christians that loved the Lord and served the Lord. Didn't just attend church, worked in the church. I wonder what Mary thought when Spirit of God came upon her and the angel spoke to her and said, "You will be conceived by the Holy Spirit and you will bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel, the Son of the Most High." I can think, man, she's excited. She's going to have a boy that's going to grow up and he's going to rule the universe. I wonder what she thought when she sat at that cross and said, "God, I didn't know it entailed this. I didn't know raising the son for you was going to take me here." And every one of you parents that are sitting here, mothers and dads, you're going to understand this. When you raise children, there's good times and there's bad times, and there's times that you're going to cry out to God and you're going to say, "I did not know that I was going to be here." Whether it's a child that has died, or a child that is going through surgery, or a child that is going through hard times, or a child that is going through a divorce, or a child that is going through financial difficulty. "Lord, I raise them for you. I did not realize this was part of it." And God said, "I will see them through." Jesus said, "Follow me. Come unto me, those who are weak and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." When Jesus called his disciples, he called them and they said, "Where do you dwell?" And he said, "Follow me." He said, "I can't tell you how to do it. All I can do is show you how to do it." Trinity is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men. The Word of God is part of the Trinity, because it is Jesus Christ. It talks about him from the book of Genesis through the book of Revelation. Mary had treasured up in her heart all of the things that she had for Jesus. And being a mother is not easy. John Wesley's mother, you'd think, you know, he started the Methodist churches, him and Charles Wesley. They mentored George Whitefield. I mean, these people, these men were strong men of God. Their mother had 19 children. Well, the odds of having a good one's pretty good there. She had 10 that lived. When John was 6 years old, his dad was pastor of the Epworth Church in Lincolnshire. And in 1709, the church burned completely down. John's life was spared. They lived up above, and someone got him out. His mother said that she knew God had spared his life for something special. So Susanna taught him and worked with him and made sure that he knew who the Lord was. My mother taught me songs like "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know." I didn't learn those in church. I learned them from my mother. My mother taught me the Bible, "For That's the Book for Me. I Stand Alone on the Word of God," the Bible. I didn't have to learn that at church. I learned that from my mother. I learned all those songs as I was growing up. I didn't think there was any other song other than Christian music. I didn't know anyone sang any other type of music than Christian music, because everything that was in our house was Christian. I knew country western singers sang Christian. I knew orchestras played Christian music. I knew pop stars sing Christian music. We had an Elvis album. I didn't know Elvis sang "You're Nothing But a Hound Dog." I thought he only sang "Amazing Grace," because that's the album we bought. if you want to raise kids, I'm a minister, my sister's a minister in the Nazarene church, my brother's pastor's a church this size or bigger down by Continental, and my older brother is in heaven and he ran the Church of God camp. That's only four of us. And if you want to have kids that grow up in the Lord, you're going to have the Lord in your home. You can't rely upon the church to do it all. I remember when I came here almost 33 years ago, I had a lady call me and one of her grandkids was in trouble. And she said, I don't know why the church isn't doing more for our kids to keep their kids out of this. It isn't the church that keeps your kids out of this. It's you that keep your kids out of this. And you don't do it with a stick. You do it with a life that's totally dedicated to Christ, where you're not afraid to pray in front of your kids and grandkids, where you're not afraid to say no. You say, well, we say no to sin. Maybe you need to say no to more than sin. What I'm saying is this. In the house that I grew up in, we were not allowed to cuss. I mean, Dad had guns, but I think he had an atomic bomb that if we cussed, he would just set off. We weren't allowed to say, gee, golly, gosh. And I remember asking Dad when I was about 13. He said, because they're slang words and they're too close to what people are using when they swear. I said, Dad, what are we supposed to say when we get angry and get mad? You're not supposed to get angry and get mad. He was mad when he told me. But he didn't use golly or gosh. Stay away from anything that might take you a step further. When I was in the Navy, with a kid that hadn't went home for 2.5 years. Because when he went into the Navy, he was raised by Christian parents, but when he went into the Navy, he picked up a different language. And he said he was sitting at the table when he went home from the Navy the first time, and he swore asking for them to pass the potatoes because it became part of his language. And he was so embarrassed, he left. I'd hate to pick up something. I remember I'd only been in the Navy less than a year. A bunch of guys were going downtown Jacksonville to the bar. They'd talk me into going with them. Here's a guy that never drank. Dad wouldn't allow it in the house. Mom wouldn't allow it at the neighbor's house. She wouldn't allow it at any of my friends. If they had it, I wasn't going over there. So I rode the bus downtown Jacksonville, Florida from the Naval Air Station, and I ended up in a Ford Philpott Crusade. Because by the time I got downtown, I kept remembering what my dad told me. Now, if my dad would have allowed me to drink moderately, I would have went with the guys that night, and I'd have never been standing here today. But I'm standing here today because my dad believed in teaching abstinence from things that's going to hurt you. I was talking to someone in the church, and they said they know a fellow that they thought, I know I'm meddling, but I'm telling you something, I am never tempted with alcohol, never. Because I never drank it. I'm never tempted to wonder whether I've had enough or not had enough because I've never drank it. And you can go to churches and you can get preachers and they can argue about this, but today I did not want my girls to get into a car with a guy who had been drinking, so the best way for me to stop that is me not to drink. I did not want my son going out and driving with alcohol and wondering whether he had too much or didn't have enough, so I didn't use it. The best way to stay away from all of the troubles with it is just get rid of it. I'm not going to talk to you about Bible and which word means wine and which word means... I'm talking to you about today and where you're living and bringing heartaches upon yourself. This man told me, and he goes to this church, he said, I have a friend that he said, he doesn't see anything wrong with it, but his brother was killed by an alcoholic driver. His son was killed by an alcoholic driver. He said, I don't understand. If anybody should see anything bad about it, he should. That's not even in my notes. You got that for free. John Wesley's mother taught him more than just the scripture. My mother taught me more than just the scripture. Jesus' mother remembered Simeon when she took Jesus into the temple to have him dedicated. And she knew that it was a man of sorrow. She was raising a son that was going to go through some real trials. Jesus' life was full of highs and lows. People judged him, but he brought salvation. He had to face the darkness of the devil fighting, but he was a light. He went through suffering, but he brought healing. He was accused of falsehoods, but he was the truth. Evil was all around him, and yet he was good. And heaven and hell was a choice, and he brought heaven even closer that all of us could have it. Sorrow and joy, both physical and emotional struggles. Raising kids is a mixed bag, and you're going to have hard times. The best thing you can do is be a great example to them of what you want them to be. You cannot tell your kids to be in at 11 o'clock if you don't come in till 1. They will not listen. As I said, some people find Mothering Sunday hard. But as a church, all of us are mothers because we're the bride of Christ, and it's our job to set that example for everyone. It's our job to teach to everyone. It's our job to lift up one another. It's our job to love and never hate. Through the good times and the bad times, God loves us from everlasting to everlasting and has promised to be with us is eternal. We buried my mother 6 years ago yesterday. I'm not sure if I read this poem in church or not, but it sums up who my mom was. My mother was not from this world. She was just passing through. Her residence was not here. It was somewhere beyond the blue. She loved the Word of God, so she spelled it out to me. She said I could stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. She taught me how to pray at night and when I lay down in my bed. She said there were angels all around, one at the foot and one at my head. She taught me how to thank God for all that I had. She also taught me to say thanks for my dad. Mama said there was a little light that Jesus gives and I should let it shine. She said to let it shine till Jesus comes. Let it shine, shine, shine. She told me Jesus loved me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Then I would sing, Jesus loves me. This I know, for my mama told me so. No, Mom was not from this world. She was just passing through. She is now up, now in heaven, and home with Jesus. What else could she do? Mama took Jesus as her Savior. You should take him too. I took Jesus as my Savior. You should take him too. Let's stand. Our Heavenly Father, we do honor the mothers today. But Lord, this world will take a toll on you. And you said that the world is an enemy of God. And Lord, that starts first with the world's entertainments. Lord, that starts with trying to please the flesh rather than pleasing you. Jesus allowed his flesh to be stripped and beaten and nailed because he loves us. Denying the flesh is just that. It's not wanting our own desires of flesh. You never promised that. You promised us the desires of our heart. Help us deny our flesh. Take up your cross and follow you, for your yoke is easy and your burden is light. And Lord, there isn't a better life in all the world. Lord, we love you. Help us be the example we should be. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Robert L. Fry from Heritage Church of God in Maumee, Ohio, where a salvation experience makes you a member. If you've enjoyed Pastor Fry's message today, we'd love for you to come and join us at Heritage Church of God. We're located at 3520 Strayer Road in Maumee, Ohio. Just look for the red brick church in the valley. If you'd like more information about Heritage Church of God, or you'd like to receive a copy of today's message, contact the church office at 419-861-9520 or visit our website at heritagechurchofgod.org. And this has been a Heritage Church of God audio outreach ministry.